Oh, Father God, we do acknowledge in this place this morning that freedom is a gift from you. And we have come here this morning, each and every one of us, with some place in our life that we have not yet allowed to be claimed by you. Some place of darkness or defeat or failure or shame or fear or complacency, whatever it is. Something that's holding us back. And so this morning we declare that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we ask for your Spirit to move freely in this place and in our hearts as we worship. We pray that we would be, as the Apostle Paul says, people who are being changed by the glory of God. May we see your glory in this place. And may we leave here moments from now as people who reflect your glory to the world around us. We have come to worship you. Would you be glorified in what you see and what you hear among us? These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, I ask that through your Spirit you would help us hear what it is you want us to hear. So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you were here last week, you know that we were going to start our new Elephant in the Room series on some of the toughest questions facing the church and the culture today. But this past week, God put on my heart instead a few other things that seem to be necessary groundwork before we get to those questions specifically. Namely, healthy communication and wisdom. Because without a strong foundation in both of these, the Elephant in the Room series, I fear, would not be as helpful as it should be. And so the next three Sundays, we're going to look at Scripture and deal specifically with that healthy communication piece. We'll look at wisdom in the weeks to come, and then the elephant in the room in the weeks to come. But we're going to spend a few weeks looking at communication that honors others, communication in times of conflict, and communication when there is need for amends. Most of us are adults in this room. And you would think that this is a kind of thing that we would have down by now. Most of us have been talking since we were around 2 years old or so. And for some of you, that's a really long time ago. And you would think that we would have figured out how to do this communication thing well. But if we're honest with ourselves, we could all be better communicators. Could we not? Poor communication is the biggest reason that marriages fail and that employees are let go, and it's still the biggest reason that wars break out. It is imperative that we, as the people of God, strive to honor our God in our communication. Why? Because our words matter. perhaps as much as anything else we throw out into the world, our words matter. Proverbs 18:21 says it clearly, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. That's the Message version, and I love it. What we say to others matters. Think about your life for a moment, from the time you were a child all the way up until now. And think about those words that have been spoken to you at any stage of your life that to this day you still remember the most. Think of those words that you can still remember all the details, the tone, everything to do with how they were spoken. Those words that have stuck with you all of these years. And notice, what is it that made these words stick? I bet it was one of two things. They were either words that spoke life into you. Someone saw something in you and they named it and it blessed your heart in some way you've never forgotten. Or they were words that deeply wounded you. Words kill. Words give life. As children of God, it is crucial that we learn to use our words well. Whether we're 8 or 88, it's crucial that we learn to do this well. And this morning specifically, we're asking how to be intentional about speaking into the world words that honor others. Sometimes whenever I'm bored, I make a poor decision. And I find myself scrolling through the comments on the Belfair Community Network on Facebook. It can be entertaining, but I find that I'm doing it less and less because although it's funny quite often, this place is an absolute train wreck. If you ever go to this site on Facebook, I don't recommend it, you'll find around 10,000 Belfair area residents, and they're often ranting about one thing or another. Taco Bell gets a weekly verbal assault for not putting enough beans in somebody's burrito, and they want 10,000 people to mourn with them. Dairy Queen gets bashed for making someone's stomach hurt. They ate a double bacon cheeseburger and large fries and chocolate sundae and soda for dinner and blamed the establishment for being sick all night. It's a mess. There's this weekly rant on there about someone going out of their turn at the four-way stop by QFC. God forbid we all had to wait 2 extra seconds. And don't even think about getting on there the weeks of senior slowdown day. Oh my goodness. There's always some kind of complaining bandwagon to jump on. If you got a need to get your grievances out, that's the place to do it. You will be loved there. And you know, you begin to count it up, and honestly, it seems like there are about 10 rants or complaints in our little community to any one word of honor or gratitude or praise. Our culture has become so much quicker to tear down than to honor and build up. Words matter. God says they bring death or life, and He says you choose. Last weekend, I went and watched the new documentary on Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Go see it. It is amazing. Best movie of the year. Fred Rogers was already one of my heroes, even more so now. Did you know that he is an ordained Presbyterian minister? And he always understood this television show not to be a detour from his life in the church, but to be the fulfillment of his calling from God, to get to speak truth into the lives of America's children. Did you know that Fred Rogers wrote every single word for every single episode of his show for 33 years? He was the only one that ever wrote a word for it. He played the part of every single puppet. In the documentary, they said that when others were on the show, Fred told them very clearly that they were never to add or take away anything from the script. they would stick to it just as it was, because he knew his calling. And he had put every word into that show intentionally. Every single word had a purpose. Because Fred Rogers strongly believed that those 30 minutes he got in a child's living room each day was a gift from God. And he was going to use that gift, every second of it, to speak words of life to those children. And many of us in this room have been shaped by him in one way or another. Because words matter. In your home, they matter. In your workplace, at the store, on social media posts, words matter. They kill or they give life. They're poison or they're fruit. Do we honor others with our words well? We've got to. How can we do better? Good news. Today's message is not the least bit complicated. It's just intentional. And it's nothing that you don't already know. It's just really a good reminder. The Apostle Paul is our guide today. As with most of his letters, he starts his letter to the church at Philippi by honoring them with his words. Before Paul goes on to correct any behavior, to give the church any new challenge, before he asks anything of them at all, Paul takes time to simply honor them with his words. And you know, that alone should be our guide. When we sit down at a restaurant, before demanding a diet soda, do we ever just thank our waitress for her willingness to serve us? My friend Cody, every time we'd go out to eat together, when the waiter would come to our table, he would slow down the pace on purpose. And he would say, "Hey, my name's Cody. What's your name? And how's your day going so far?" You know, before we get started, he'd say, "I just want to thank you for taking care of us this evening. We're so grateful." How easy is that? Just a simple way to honor folks before we go and make demands of them. And you see, Paul starts out the entire letter with just that. "Grace and peace to you, my friends. You are a joy in my life." Words can honor. Words can give life. And you get to choose. So how do Paul's words honor his friends in Philippi? For one, he tells them that he's praying for them. And he even describes exactly how often and exactly for what. He says, "I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now." How can we better honor others with our words? Simple. Speak words on their behalf to God. Pray for them. And here's the second step. And let them know just how you're praying. This sounds simple, but we miss this opportunity so often. Folks ask for prayer all the time, and we respond by saying, "I'm praying." And that's good, that's kind, that's okay, but we can always take it one step further, just a little bit more intentional. My friend Emily, who's in Wiggle Time right now, whenever a prayer request is shared in our Restored Recovery group on Facebook, she will often sit there and take the time, a full minute, to write out exactly what she is speaking to God on behalf of that person who's just asked for prayer. And while she's doing it, she's saying, "I am praying for you, and here's what I'm saying to God about you." And there is power in that. One of my seminary professors, I've been out of seminary for 7 years now, and he still sends me a text every single Saturday evening. And in this text, he always says, "Jamie, it's Sunday again," in case I wasn't aware. And he says, "While you're in the pulpit tomorrow, I'll be in the pulpit too, and I'm praying for you." And then he goes on every Saturday night to tell me the unique prayer he's praying on my behalf that week. It blesses my heart. When Saturday evening rolls around, I find that I'm waiting to hear my phone ding. I find that I've come to just long for that simple message that says, Jamie, I'm talking to God about you. And here's what it is I'm saying. Just want you to know. It blesses me, and it's so simple. Who have you prayed for this week? I hope somebody. If not, then let's start today. But who have you prayed for this week? Here's an easy challenge. This afternoon, how about you just let them know? Let them know that you were talking to God about them, and even let them know what you said. It will bless their hearts. I promise you. It blesses mine. Words can honor. Words can give life. And you get to choose how to use them. A second way that Paul honors the Philippians with his words, he tells them specifically how he sees Jesus in them. He says, in your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, he says, you hold me in your heart. He says, you share in God's grace with me. Paul saw the Philippians as special in their perseverance, in their partnership, in their loyalty, in their companionship with him. And he told them just that. He didn't just generically say, you know, Philippian church, I like you all. You're a good people. You are a good church. Very, very good. He says, I see Jesus in you in these specific ways. You want to honor someone with your words this week? Make it a point to take note of how you see Jesus shining through them and let them know it. If they make people laugh, let them know that you see Jesus in the joy they share. If they're the ones to go above and beyond to bless another, let them know that you see Jesus in their generosity and their servant's heart. If they're the ones who always show up, let them know that you see Jesus in their reliability. If they hold some sensitive stuff with you and for you, let them know that you see Jesus in their trustworthiness. With your children this week, for every time you say, no, don't do that, don't say that, go back and try that again. Challenge yourself to identify more ways that their unique personality and actions reflect that of our Lord. And let them know. This is intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. Walk into a room looking for glimpses of Jesus to show up all around you, because he's there. Walk into your office tomorrow, ready to see Christ inside the folks that you work with. Sit back at your dinner table tonight and pay attention to the Jesus sitting at that table with you. If you look closely, you will find him in each and every one. You see, it's so rare these days that we intentionally tell folks the good that emanates from them. And we are, all of us, dying to hear it, to see it in ourselves. See Jesus in their lives and speak what you see. One of my greatest joys since I've been here was the very last day of youth camp last summer. I got to take an entire afternoon off that day from our campers, which was a joy in itself. And then I went to the cabin with this stack of 25 cards. And for several hours, one by one, I got to pray specifically for each one of our teenagers by name. And I got to ask God to show me how this young person is uniquely made in his image for his work in this world. And after spending a full week seeing these guys in every setting, I had the privilege of writing each student a card that told them exactly how I got to see Jesus in them. And there were no two cards alike. I told them, compare with your neighbor. Yours is totally different. And you see, some of these kids had never heard anything like this spoken to them about them before. At home, they're torn down. At school, they're pushed aside, but not under our watch, church. And one by one, After these cards were passed out, these teens would walk up to me throughout the evening, these grown boys and these timid girls alike, and with tears in their eyes, they would say, "Is that really what you see? I didn't know that. Thank you. It blessed my heart." You guys, slow down your life pace just a little bit. Watch people. Notice what makes each one unique. Listen when they talk. Look for Jesus in everyone and have the courage and humility to speak out what you see. These are words that will honor, that will change lives forever. Words have power. We get to choose to use them well. Then Paul used his words to honor his friends by acknowledging the ways that they had been there for him all along. He says, "You've shared the gospel with me every single day. Whether I was in prison or free, you were always there." We honor folks with our words when we speak out loud what they have done for us. That sounds simple, right? But how often do we put it off? You know, I've noticed in the last few years that thank you cards seem to be more and more a thing of the past. And I haven't always had a great track record myself, but it matters. It matters that our children know that when someone does something kind for them, it is right to sit down for a few minutes and write a note saying, "This meant something to me. You didn't have to do it. Thank you." It honors others, and it matters. Our ladies that put out coffee and cookies every single week, Jolene and Zeta, they get here before I do in the mornings. When's the last time you grabbed a cup of coffee and went and gave one of them just a big old hug and said, "Thank you"? Honor them for what they do for you every single week. Teachers that have shaped you, friends that have been there for you, spouses that live life with you, parents that provided for you. Do you ever stop the rat race enough to just intentionally acknowledge the people who have been kind to you and just to let them know what it meant? Just a simple invitation in these moments and a few questions. To each question, just scribble a name if you have one. Just scribble it down. Question number one, in this past week, who cooked or bought a meal for you? In the past week, who cooked or bought a meal for you? Question number two, in the past week, who took on a task that somehow helped you, made your job easier at work or at home or while you ran an errand? Hope you're getting some names. Question three, who in the last few weeks checked on you at a time you really needed it? Next question. Who recently has made you feel valued? Last one. Who's the last person that really made you laugh? I hope you've got some names jotted down. Here's the next step. What's one small thing you can do this week to let some of them know they blessed you and you're grateful? Tell them. Just tell them. You can honor them with words that have the power to give life. You choose how to use them. Do something. Just tell them. Told you it was a simple sermon. Finally, Paul honors his friends by simply telling them how much they mean to him. He's not too much of a man. He's not too tough. He's not too independent to say, "Your relationship deeply matters to me. In fact, I would not be okay without you. Philippians, hear me. I love you." "For God is my witness," he says, "I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ." That means that Paul is admitting that he weeps over these folks when they're hurting, and he jumps for joy when they're celebrating, and he feels lonely when they're far away, and he has the excitement of a child when he hears he might get to visit them. Paul's not afraid to simply say it, "I love you." You want to honor some folks with your words? Want to make a difference in their lives? Just do this. Just say, "I love you." Often. To any who you really love. Because truth is, no one hears it enough. Jesus followers who have been changed by his love, let us love by our actions, yes, and also by our words. "I love you." So simple to say, but it matters more than we will ever know. In that Mr. Rogers film, are you convinced to go see it yet? Go see it. They interviewed Francois Clemens. If you remember him, he was Officer Clemens in the show, an African-American man playing a police officer at a time racial tension was high in our nation. And the most famous scene between Mr. Rogers and Officer Clemens has the two men soaking their feet together in a kid's pool. And Mr. Rogers offers Clemens his very own towel to dry his feet with. The thing about this scene is that it was filmed at a time when white motel owners made the news for pouring cleaning chemicals into their pools while black families were swimming. And Mr. Rogers was teaching children that love will always go another way than fear. And when the show was wrapping up 33 years later, Francois, Officer Clemens, recalls one of his very final conversations with Fred. He said, "We hugged each other, and Fred told me he loved me." Francois stepped back, taken by surprise. He said, "Do you really mean that?" They had a lot of differences, white, black. Fred, an ordained minister. Francois, a gay man. Fred said, "Yes, Francois, I love you." And in this interview, this elderly man who had been so stoic and so composed this entire documentary long begins to sob and to weep. And he said, "I never in my whole life had heard those words from any other man, not even my dad." He said, "Men are too proud to say I love you, but Fred told me he loved me." And he said, and in that moment, he changed my life just by saying, "Francois, I love you." It's so simple. We can change lives too. Just try it this week. See them. Say it. Mean it. "I love you." Words matter. They can give life. They can honor. They can lift up. They can change someone's world. You get to choose how to use them. This week, here's the challenge. It's simple. Every day, honor someone with your words. Tell them how you're praying for them. Name the specific ways you see Jesus in them. Tell them how much it meant to you when they were there for you. And simply say, "I love you." And if you're really up for a challenge, go on the Belfair Community Network and start blessing some people. That would be awesome. Talk about all the cars that stopped at the four-way stop and how awesome they are. It's a really fun challenge. We could change some hearts. We could change some lives this week. Words matter. Take the challenge or don't. You choose. Amen. Would you pray with me? Hallelujah. Father God, you have spoken words of life over us. You have spoken words of love, of grace, of hope. In your word and through your spirit, you keep on speaking these words to us. Let us hear your voice that tells us who we are. and so that humbly and gratefully and genuinely we can speak these same words of life to our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our children, our parents, our neighbors. Oh God, by your grace, even our enemies. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.